I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Right now, though, I want to talk about the draft. I want to talk about the Browns. And Steve Palazzolo from Pro Football Focus now joins us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Talk a little bit about the Brownies. Steve, how are you doing today? Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, doing great. Thanks for having me.
Okay, first, I want to ask you about this. So the Browns go from John Dorsey back to Andrew Berry. And obviously, you know a lot about analytics. Is that going to change the way we perceive what the Browns should do in the draft? To me, it kind of makes me feel like they're either going to take an offensive lineman at 10 or they're going to trade. I don't know that there's an in-between. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it changes what you're going to predict necessarily. If there is a more of an analytical slant, I think the concept of trading down is pretty common. I think it's been well-researched that more picks are better. You can actually look no further than Seattle last year. They took a first-rounder and, flipped it for about six picks if you just go through all the iterations of all the trades. And one of them was DK Metcalf, and he's essentially a first-round caliber wide receiver, and then they got five other guys. So the concept of trading down is, preferred, I think, in the more people look at the numbers and hit rates in the draft and all that stuff. So I think you might see a little bit of that. And then if there is a selection, I think – offensive tackle, certainly, given the depth of the class in the first round and the need matching up for the Browns, I think that's probably a fair assumption that if they pick, it probably matches up with the tackle.
Do you have any guess to why? I mean, outside of maybe Myles Garrett and Baker Mayfield at this point, why the Browns have been so bad at drafting first-rounders? And, it just set the franchise back time and time again. We went through a phase where they kept trading back, and I mean, you talk about Seattle. That was success. The Browns just have a difficult time landing players that could make this a good team, even a playoff team.
Yeah, I like to think that the Browns are just an outlier from the last 20 years. It's not easy to pinpoint why it has been so difficult to draft first-rounders. And, when you talk about the two guys that you're calling hits, they were first overall. So, a little bit different there. But I think on the positive side, over time, it's supposed to even off. It should even off. And if you take enough shots at it, you should be able to find players. I think, the year that they had the three first-rounders and used, one on David Njoku and one on Jabril Peppers, I think that's a positional value issue. I mean, I think that was just going with a tight end in the first round, which doesn't have the best hit rate through the years. You could kind of find tight ends in the second and third round later on. And then safety, Jabril's a box safety, essentially box safety / linebacker, not exactly the type of position you want to draft in the first round. So, the reason to trade down is to give yourself more opportunities to hit, knowing that you're not going to be perfect. It should, eventually, change things over time. But it's certainly been a bad run overall for Cleveland the last many years.
Steve Palazzolo joining us from Pro Football Focus. Steve, when Andrew Berry was brought back to the organization, certainly it was done so with, I would guess, the urging of Paul DePodesta. Paul's background, analytics, putting together systems, I think Andrew gets lumped into that, despite the fact that he kind of cut his teeth in the NFL as an actual scout for the Colts. Where do you think Andrew lies on the analytics against football scouting little scale when it comes to drafting players?
I think he certainly has a combination of both. And I think, baseball went through this whole thing, and I really think football will mirror baseball over the next 20 or so years. It might take a little bit longer, but baseball, it was kind of like, Moneyball's written, Billy Bean is seen as the guy who only uses a computer, and then there's scouts who don't know how to turn on a computer, and that's the battle. And I don't think that's the reality. I mean, those are the discussion points, but it's not really the reality. I mean, even a scout goes back and says, hey, where did I hit? Where did I miss? They look back and they say, what did I learn over the last 5 years, 10 years in my evaluation? That's essentially analytics, is going back and saying what information is valuable, what's not. And I think there's always going to be a combination of both. I think There's need. Scouting is just information that can be analyzed and put in, enrolled into the numbers if it's used properly. So I think it'll be a healthy combination of taking in all the information available and just making a good decision. I don't know if it's as black and white as people make it out to be, and, you know, kind of like old school football people who, you know, think it's just, you know, we're drafting off this computer program rather than taking in valuable information like what a scout would bring to the table.
So, Steve, based on all that, why do you think Kevin Stefanski was the guy they wanted for two seasons? The analytics department, for sure. And then they figured out, hey, we really do want to bring him in. What made him such a viable candidate for the Browns to be the head coach?
So I think there's always a combination of things. I think when you're looking for a coach, you want to find a guy that has made those around him better, that whether it's a coaching a position group, whether it's calling the plays. He was certainly he's certainly coming off a good year, I think, overall, as far as maximizing what the Vikings had offensively. I think the other part is the in-game decision-making. Again, I think, you know, analytics is a very broad brush, and sometimes people focus on the specific parts, and one of the specific parts is fourth down decision-making, or just general, game flow, game theory type of decision-making. I think when you're selecting a head coach, that would be a piece of it. The other piece, as I said, is, you know, are you making people around you better? Are there certain leadership qualities and, you know, maybe non-football type of things that you are looking for from your head coach? I'm assuming a lot of those components all rolled into, you know, pushing towards Stefanski being the guy.
Steve, on your Twitter account, you've retweeted something from Pro Football Focus: highest graded second-year quarterbacks. No, this is interesting, as everything is. Oh, by the way, congratulations on being a former minor league pitcher. That's very cool.
Oh, thank you.
Highest graded second-year quarterbacks in 2019, according to Pro Football Focus. Number one, Lamar Jackson, no-brainer. Number two, Baker Mayfield, ahead of Josh Allen and Sam Darnold. With that thought, let me ask you this. If that draft class was coming out this year, and you were the Browns and you had the number one pick, and you were looking for a quarterback, you're going Jackson? In what order? Jackson, Mayfield, Darnold, Rosen, Allen. What do you think it would be now that we have a little more information on these guys?
Yeah, so I'm still trying to battle between the recency bias of Lamar Jackson being awesome and what we saw rookie season, where I think Baker Mayfield very clearly outplayed everyone else in that class, including Lamar, who went out there and won a ton of football games. I think there would be a healthy debate between Baker and Lamar. I know that he's coming off an MVP season, and we've seen what he can do in a system completely tailored to him, which was incredible. So, yes, I'd still probably lean Lamar, but I think it's closer than people think. I think Baker's clearly the next guy, and I think it's another healthy debate between Sam Darnold and Josh Allen. I mean, Darnold's still a couple of years younger than Allen. I think Allen was not nearly as good as his team's record would show. That's why that tweet that we put out where Baker was ahead of Josh Allen has hashtag Bills Mafia all sorts of angry at us right now, because they think Josh Allen has been incredible. But I don't think he has been. I think he's still very inconsistent throwing the ball down the field. He's got that big arm that's really not been put to good use. He's improved in some other areas. So I'd go Lamar, Baker. I still kind of lean Sam Darnold. I think if you give him a better situation, he's a little bit younger, I think eventually he gets to become a better quarterback than Josh Allen. And then I'd say Allen 4, and I push Rosen to number 5 at this point.
You think Darnold, because I've been surprised that, and his situation hasn't been good, as you mentioned, but I've been surprised that he hasn't been more impactful. I know he's dinged up a little bit too, but I think that guy could end up being really good in the NFL.
Yeah, Darnold's tough to analyze, because even at USC, if you take the right chunk of games, and you can't even say this about a Josh Allen right now, or even a Baker. I mean, Darnold's high-end play, if you take the right 6 or 7 games, he looks like the best in that class. But if you take the other 3 or 4, he looks like the worst, and it's not even close. That whole seeing ghost game on Monday Night Football and all that stuff. So Darnold has been a roller coaster so far. I think the difference between him and Allen, or even Rosen at this point, those three guys all came in probably one of the worst situations in the NFL when it comes to offensive line, receiver talent, and all that. Rosen never had a chance to rectify it. Darnold had the same exact problem this year. And Josh Allen actually got to see some improvement. John Brown, Cole Beasley, a little bit of offensive line help this year. So that's what I want to see for Darnold. Can the Jets actually rebuild that offense around him? Because I definitely think that'll help him at least improve his statistical output in the coming years.
Sam, if you're the Browns and you're not leaning offensive line, where are you leaning?
I mean, I'm always a big best player available type of guy. I think this draft, I'm of the belief now you can never have too many pass game weapons and you can never have too many coverage players. So I think getting people that can cover in the back seven, if you run into the right coverage linebacker to potentially replace a Joe Schobert, adding more cornerback depth, even though they've already got Greedy Williams and Denzel Ward back there, you literally can never have too many corners. And then adding more receiving weapons, as good as they were on paper last year. Obviously, there was a lot of issues with getting on the same page and finding guys that meshed with Baker in the passing game. So another guy that can get open, go up, make plays, stretch the field. There's plenty of those guys in this draft. So pass game weapons and coverage players, I think, always at a premium, never can have too many.
Just real quick, what do you think of the Browns coaching staff they put together beyond Stefanski with Alex Van Pelt and then turning to the Niners for Joe Woods?
Yeah, it seems solid. I mean, I thought last year was a little bit of a mishmash, so I think it's an improvement. And again, I think Stefanski, the thing they were looking at was a lot of the leadership and, things that you don't always see on the football field. So the idea that he can kind of pull that together, I think they have confidence in that, and I'm definitely looking forward to seeing it come together. It looks pretty solid on paper, though.
Steve, thank you, buddy.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Anytime.
Hey, we appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon. Especially, I want to get a little closer to the draft, too, and I want to talk to you about
analytics
getting into the draft. So we'll do that a little bit closer to the draft. But thank you, Steve.
Yep, sounds good. Thanks, guys.
All appreciate right, it, and make Steve. Sure you check him out on Pro Football Focus. And, of course, he was on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
Hey, a little good news.
Yeah, what do you got?
Colin Sexton named to the USA team for the Rising Stars Challenge at the All-Star Weekend coming up in Chicago. Colin wanted that. Now he gets it. Tyler Hero from the Miami Heat not playing. Colin should have been in there regardless. He's averaging almost 20 points a game, 19.7 points a game.
Now he's in.
He deserved to be in it from the get-go, and now he's in it. So good for him.
All right, well, congratulations to him. Jeff, I'm dying for this next segment. Mm-hmm. You told me you're going to come up with something that I initially think that you will not have a good idea. You're saying you have a better idea, a good alternative to
what. What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.